John 1, 1 to 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Good morning. It's good to be together this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your light. We thank you for your presence this morning, and that we can come before you now and we can look at your word together. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what are we waiting for? I wonder if you can think of a time when you were waiting for the light. Maybe waiting for the lights to come back on after a power cut, because you couldn't remember where the candles were and the matches were, and so you were sat in the dark, not able to move around properly because you couldn't see where you were going. Maybe walking down a really dark road when your torch runs out of battery and suddenly it's all much more scary and you're in the kind of darkness where there might be something right in front of you and you wouldn't even know it. Or have you been in the position where you've been awake in the night for hours and hours? In fact, sometimes it feels like you didn't get any sleep at all, and you're trying and trying to get to sleep. And then you have the relief of seeing the dawn, the light arriving, the morning coming, so you don't have to keep on trying to get to sleep anymore. Advent is about waiting. Waiting and anticipating. Waiting for the Prince of Peace. Waiting for a Savior, which is what we thought about last week. Waiting for the one who would bring light into the darkness. The true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world. In the Gospel of John, there's a theme of light and darkness which runs through the whole book. To introduce the true light, John goes right back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. As soon as we read those words, in the beginning, then we're taken right back to the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning was God, in Genesis chapter 1. And God created. John tells us that in the beginning, before that moment of creation, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing that was created without him. John shows us that the Word, who we later see as Jesus, is truly divine. He brought life, physical life, through the creation, and also spiritual life, which only comes through relationship with God. In Genesis, we also see the contrast between darkness and light. It says, the earth was formless and empty. The darkness was over the surface of the deep. And then God created. And he created through a word, his spoken word. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This light wasn't the light of the sun, because the sun hadn't been created yet. This light was the light of God himself. And it reminds us of the light we hear about in Revelation, where in the new heaven and the new earth, the city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. And yet, we don't have to look very far around us to see that in this world, there is a lot of darkness and chaos. Even this week, several people I know have gone through some really difficult situations which show how fear and anger and violence impact our society. Genesis tells us that as humanity rebelled against God and chose to live life their own way rather than God's way, then sin and death and chaos entered God's good world. But God was not going to abandon his world and leave us in darkness. We join in with this Advent waiting, taking our part in the story, in remembering and anticipating the joy of Christmas. Let's think about God's people in the Old Testament. They had glimpses of light throughout their journey with God. A burning bush, a fiery pillar, thunder and lightning on a mountaintop, the Shekinah glory of God filling the temple. They had glimpses of light through the prophets, who showed people what God was like and pointed out God's ways to live. The people of God themselves had been called to show something of God's light to the other nations around them, demonstrating what it meant to be a people who lived with God. And yet they knew there was more, and they were waiting and waiting, waiting for the light which had been prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born. They were waiting for an end to oppression and injustice, waiting for a Messiah who would bring a new kingdom of peace and justice where people would know God in their own hearts and lives. They were waiting for the morning star, the sun of righteousness, a light which would dawn on those living in the land of the shadow of death. Let's look at the passage and think about a few of the things which it shows us about this light. As they've already mentioned in the children's video, Jesus didn't come just to point us towards the light. Jesus is the light. And later in John, he will say, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As our light, Jesus' life is our guide. He shows us what it's like to live as a fully human being, a true image bearer as we were created to be. His light reveals to us God's truth, who God is and what God is like. Verse 5 tells us that the light shines in the darkness. This is an ongoing, continuous activity. The light shines. It continues to shine. It's the very nature of light to shine. This light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, and the translation here can either be understood it or overcome it. darkness cannot overcome light. Have you ever seen a tiny light being lit, even in the middle of a huge dark space? From every part of that dark space, you'll be able to see the tiny light, no matter how small it is. Darkness cannot overcome Jesus' light. The light of Christ continues to shine. And for those of us who are facing dark, difficult, or even desperate situations in our own lives at the moment, we can know that even this darkness will not be able to overcome God's light and love. In our previous church, at one point, many people seemed to be going through really difficult situations with health issues and family issues, and there was a real feeling of spiritual attack and discouragement. As one of the ladies in the church was praying, God gave her a picture in her mind, which she painted. The picture was of a stormy, dangerous sea, covered with dark, heavy clouds. And yet, above the clouds, out of sight from the sea, was a glorious sun that continued to shine. She felt that God wanted to remind us that in that moment, we could only see the darkness and the danger. And yet behind those clouds, God's light and love are still shining, that we would come through the storm and see the light break through. We did come through the storm, and we hung that picture on the wall of the church to remind us that the light is still there, shining, even when we can't see it. And the same is true of us here. God's light is shining into our darkness, even in the middle of the COVID situation. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Because we know God's light in our own lives, does that mean that we live in a kind of light bubble and can ignore the rest of the world around us, avoiding the darkness and the pain? Although that might be tempting sometimes, it is not the example that Jesus gives to us. In fact, the light makes us even more aware of the darkness around us. And God might send us into some of those dark places which so desperately need his love and his light. As his light shines in our hearts, then we know more of his love for the lost and the glorious yet broken world around us. That's not easy, because loving people and seeing them in pain can really hurt. It hurts God too. But we don't go into these dark places alone. The Holy Spirit is God's light in us. And God's light can shine through us, even though we are sometimes very aware that this treasure is in jars of clay and the light of glory is just shining through the cracks. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 4 in the passage tells us that in him, Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. I just want us to think for a moment about what that life is like. Paul tells us that in Christ we are a new creation. This new life in Christ is not just an extension of our old life, where Jesus helps us to work harder and do better and be more respectable. This is not Jesus helping to put us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. This is transformation. Jesus' resurrection brings new life, eternal life. And we in Christ can step into that eternal life beginning now. Our sins forgiven. Our guilt and shame dealt with by Jesus. A new life, clothed in the righteousness of Christ and alive to the presence of God by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Ephesians tells us that we were dead in our sins, but God made us alive. We were once darkness, but we are now children of light. And this is not because of what we've done or because we deserve it. It's because of the love and grace of God. Grace upon grace, as John says in verse 16. It doesn't mean that life will be easy, but as one commentator says, if we are called to suffer for Christ and leave everything this world has to offer, the light of Christ will still overcome the darkness. And when the final darkness falls and death is just a breath away, we can rejoice that Christ will be with us in the valley and our eyes will be opened again to the light of Christ, eternal light and glory. We thought earlier about waiting for the light. For the people of Israel, the promised light came in the unexpected form of a helpless baby. Many didn't recognize him, but for those who did, there was great joy and the reality of becoming children of God. Our passage tells us that Jesus is the true light that gives light to everyone. There are people around us still searching for light, waiting to find a way out of darkness, waiting to find real life with meaning and purpose, waiting, even though they might not realize it, to see God's light shining. How will we help them to see God's light in their lives? Let's be asking God, who is the person around me who needs to see your light today? And how do you want to use me to show that light? I'll finish with a story about a friend of mine who I saw this week. As she shared with me, I was struck by the way that she's been letting her light shine. Over the years, my friend has been faithfully living for Jesus at work. People knew that she was a Christian, that she went to church, that she prayed. A colleague of hers, who she was friends with but not very close to, developed cancer and gradually got more and more ill. My friend visited her and supported her during that time. As time went on, her colleague they were having a conversation, and she asked her colleague, "Would you like me to pray for you?" And her colleague said yes. And she really appreciated it. As time went on, her colleague started to look forward to her visits, not only for the company and the conversation, but for the prayer. And gradually, she opened up her life to God. A few weeks ago, this colleague passed away. It's not been easy for my friend, because she got to know her colleague really well, and it's painful that she's gone. But my friend has the great joy of knowing that God used her to shine his light into that colleague's life, and that that light was used to bring her colleague to eternal life and for her to know peace even in the midst of her darkness. So let's remember that the light of the world has come, not just out there somewhere, not just for everybody else. God's light is there to shine into my darkness and your darkness. Let's ask God to shine his light into our lives. And as he does, let's allow him to shine his light through us into the dark situations around us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen.